Hey, everybody. Welcome to LettermanRow.com. I'm Jeremy Birmingham, and this is another episode of Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Byers Automotive. If you're looking for an auto, head to ByersAuto.com and find the best selection of new and used vehicles anywhere in the country, but especially in Central Ohio. Tonight, myself and Andrew Ellis, along with Spencer Holbrook, will be talking about the latest push in Ohio State football recruiting news, including a potential return for the country's number one ranked 2024 prospect in the country for the Ohio State spring game, and a lot of other stuff that is going on around Buckeyes football. So let's get to the show. Andrew Ellis, Spencer Holbrook are joining me now on Talking Stuff. Guys, we'll just start with the most recent bit of news. That's the commitment of Mark Fletcher to Ohio State. On Tuesday night, the four-star running back from American Heritage High School down in Fort Lauderdale. I know that the immediate reaction from a lot of people is, oh, well, there goes Richard Young. Well, there goes Cedric Baxter. Well, there goes that. Ohio State has been clear from the start, and they were clear with Mark Fletcher. They want a pair of running backs in the class of 2023. And what better place to get the first one than a guy who's really close friends with Richard Young and Cedric Baxter? I mean, if you're going to find someone to work in tandem with Tony Alford, it certainly would be a good guy to have that knows them and that has been, you know, familiar with these guys for a long time, and that's Fletcher.
Yeah, and I think anybody worrying about how this might impact Richard Young and those other guys, I mean, you just have to look back not too long ago and some of the comments that Trevion Henderson and Evan Pryor made about kind of being in a class together and sort of reducing that wear and tear on the body, you know, by not getting 35 quick carries a game and that kind of thing. But as far as Fletcher goes, like, I'm a big fan of those big running backs that we really don't see that often here. Kind of a different type of back. And obviously we know he's going to be recruiting those other guys, and Tony Alford now has to go and land one of those other big fish that's still out there. So it's a heck of a start for the 23 running back class.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at the fact that you need two running backs, you're probably not going to land both Richard Young and Cedric Baxter. So what's the next best thing? Go get one of their really good friends and go get somebody that they know that can complement, you know, whichever one of them chooses to be in the class. And that's what I think the biggest thing is here. Mark Fletcher is the perfect complement for whatever Richard Young or Cedric Baxter could do in this running back room, or maybe even an Evan Pryor if he's still around, because I don't think Trevion Henderson will still be, I don't know, will he be able to be here for 1 year maybe? But
one year,
I don't
one
think
year.
Yes. Yeah, he won't be around very long, so you could potentially see maybe Evan Pryor still being in that room, Dallin Hayden. Like, the guys in that room, they're all perfectly complemented by what Mark Fletcher could potentially bring to the offense.
Yeah, as far as what he brings to the offense, the comparison that I've heard from some folks in Columbus is that they think that Mark Fletcher is a Brian Robinson-type running back from Alabama, just that big. I mean, he's not – I've heard other comparisons to, like, Derrick Henry because of his size. And this is – we're not talking about, like, the best running back in the NFL. We're talking about a kid that has a really big upside, big frame, catches the ball well out of the backfield, not afraid to be physical, athletic enough to go around or over people, and strong enough to run through people. So, I mean, he's really that kind of guy you need to have in your roster. And the Buckeyes right now, especially with Master Teague out the door and Marcus Crowley's future and health still, you just don't know what's happening with that. You need that kind of player on the roster. And that's why it was so important to get Fletcher. And that's why Tony Alford really zeroed in on him a few months ago as that complimentary back. And I know that there's folks out there who say, oh, well, why take him now if it risks upsetting the order? And then, you don't have to go back far. Think back to 2020. If a kid wants to commit and wants to do it publicly and you're going to take him eventually, then you take him. You don't run the risk of Jalen Knighton or Bijan Robinson both saying, hey, we're going to come to Ohio State, and then they end up going to Miami and Texas. So you need to make sure that the guys who want to be in the class are celebrated and given that opportunity if that's a player that you want, and that's Mark Fletcher.
Absolutely. You said it exactly right, Burr. I don't think I could have said it any better. You can't wait on you can't allow these guys to slip away from you just because you want to get, I don't know, maybe the term is greedy with recruiting. You just can't have that mindset creep in of, well, you know, we will take this guy later, but at the same time, we don't want to upset anybody, you know, potentially down the road. You got to take him. And that's just the way it is in recruiting.
Yeah. And I saw Richard Young tweeting some things about the Fletcher commitment as well. So I think that's just the understanding that running backs have these days is you're not going to be carrying the ball 30 times a game, and having somebody else to kind of compliment you, I mean, that's not a bad thing in this day and age. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the more that college football veers towards this full on pay to play, no longer amateur status that we're heading toward, there are decisions that have to be made by coaching staffs that are completely void of feelings. And you cannot recruit with feelings anymore. You can't worry about, you know, how's this going to make someone feel, or are they going to be upset? Are they going to badmouth us on Twitter? At this juncture, like Ohio State, if they want to compete with Alabama and Georgia and Texas A&M, they have to recruit the best players they can recruit at every position every single year. And that is this transition that's happening for the Buckeyes internally. And I think that people are starting to see it a little bit on the outside. That is the ultimate debate when we're talking about the quarterback class in the class of 23. The Buckeyes are back and forth because their gut instinct says, hey, we can find a regional guy in 23 and don't worry about trying to get the big fish. But then if a guy like Dante Moore, who's really freaking good, ends up playing at Notre Dame or Michigan because you didn't recruit him, then all of a sudden you're the loser in that battle. So like, you have to just start really thinking about recruiting from a totally different perspective, and knowing that kids can leave in a blink of an eye, knowing that rosters can change in a heartbeat. Like, don't you just have to get the best players that are going to say yes right when they're going to say yes?
I think so. And it's a weird kind of dynamic that everybody's just trying to navigate right now. You've basically got to load your roster with 85 guys that you think can win you a national championship. There's not really a lot of developmental things that you can do anymore just because of the transfer portal and NIL and the way some of these top schools are recruiting that Ohio State expects to compete against. Like, you have to have 85 guys who you feel confident putting out on the field and, like I said, win you a national championship. And you can't be worried about hurt feelings. You can't be worried about, you know, what happens in next year if you take a guy this year. What happens with last year's five-star if you take this year's five-star? You just got to take guys that you think can help you win a championship. And it's a new thing because, like you said, Berm, we've seen guys, especially a quarterback, where do you take a year off? Do you go every other year? You can't do that anymore. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, this like pool that Ohio State's working with is very much the same pool that Georgia and Alabama and everybody else is looking at. So, I mean, if you're going to slow play one guy and then Alabama or Georgia is not going to slow play that guy, then, I mean, you're losing that guy to another annual playoff contender. And that's never a good thing. So,
because you can't say, hey, buddy, we really like you, but we're going to wait and see if the guy we like more decides to join the class. If that guy that you like more is saying, hey, I'm not going to decide till November. And that, you know, the flip side of that, of course, is what you see a lot of times programs around the country doing that Ohio State doesn't do a lot of, which is saying, hey, we're going to take anyone that wants to commit. And then 7 months from now, we'll just pass that guy on to someone else because the player that we like better decided we wanted to commit. And the Buckeyes they try really hard not to do that. And it's just this era of college football right now. And there's a bit of it that is just specific to Ohio State because their geography is such that, it requires them to be involved with players a little differently than the SEC teams that they're competing against. But at the same time, their stature requires that they're competing against these SEC teams like Alabama and Georgia. So, and this brings me to AJ Harris. I know people wanted for us to dive into his recruitment, the cornerback from Phoenix City Central High School. Ohio State's in this weird catch 22 where they have to make sure that players from not the Midwest visit very early, because that's how you start the relationship and get involved and make sure that you are connecting with a player well enough to keep him interested a year down the road and into this part of the recruitment, the spring before senior year, heading into senior year. But at the same time, when you do that and you make a strong connection, it's almost harder to maintain it for that long than it is to, find a new one and develop it quickly in the spring. Because if you look at a guy like AJ Harris, who's seen Ohio State multiple times, who had a great relationship with the Buckeyes with Kerry Combs, and has a good one with Tim Walton, but there's just so much back and forth, and you just don't know how do you judge what's real at this point with players around the country who get an opportunity to go to Alabama, go to Georgia, go to Florida, go to LSU literally every weekend, and they can't get to Ohio State but once every 6 months. And that becomes a real challenge for the Buckeyes to know when it's the right time to dive into those relationships. Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah. It's almost like a catch 22. You want to start those building those relationships early, but you can't start them too early because
if you wait, then those other teams are so far ahead of you that you can't catch up, and that's the problem.
But then you have to, you know, if you show guys, and I hate to use this term, but it's just the way recruiting is now. If you show guys a certain amount of love early on in the process, you either have to continue with that exact amount or elevate it, or else they think that you are, and I'm not saying this is with AJ, but like a lot of guys, you know, they think that you're starting to look like slack in the love you're showing them. And then it's like, well, not really. You just know where we stand with you, but it's all really confusing and I don't really like it, but that's the way it is right now. And it's just a weird spot for Ohio State to be in. Like you said, Berm, you got to start these things early, but if you start them too early, it almost is like they almost get too comfortable.
Yeah. And the AJ Harris example specifically has just been kind of a weird saga. You know, obviously we know the Kerry Combs relationship, and then he left, and then Tim Walton came in and has by all accounts done a fantastic job over the last few months. And then I think we all along kind of thought if it wasn't going to be Ohio State, it was probably going to be like a Clemson or somebody like that. And then North Carolina was kind of in there too. And then Florida goes out and lands Corey Raymond, and he's one of the best recruiters in the country. And I mean, Florida is not exactly DBU, but they've got a long history of sending defensive backs to the league as well. And unfortunately right now, it looks like unless he gets back to campus, which it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, it seems like he could be heading to Gainesville. So
the interesting thing with AJ Harris at this juncture is what does he decide to do? Because from all accounts, it seems like he's informed a number of people that he may have at least internally made a decision about where he wants to end up playing football. And most people believe at this point that that's Florida. But if he doesn't make a public commitment and decides to then push into the summer and take official visits, does this swing back again? Does he wait until the fall to take visits? And if that's the case, if he made some sort of private declaration to Florida, are they going to allow him to visit places that he was actually sincerely interested in? Or are they going to say, hey, if you want to go visit, you know, program X to see a great football game against program Y, go ahead. But if you want to go see Ohio State, for example, they'll probably be like, hey, no. Because something quickly transpired and changed from the time that AJ Harris visited Florida over the weekend of March 25th to basically 3 days later, because Ohio State, there's been very little contact since. There's been almost no communication with him from the Buckeye staff. And that is a shock to a lot of people. It's and that goes down into the ranks of the commits who were confused as to exactly why they were no longer in communication. Recruiting is sales, right? And right now, it seems like Corey Raymond and Florida have done an incredible job convincing AJ Harris that they have what he needs and Ohio State doesn't. And not just that, but like, don't even worry about him. Don't even talk to him anymore. Don't even give him a chance. So, you know, whatever ends up happening, I've got a great relationship with AJ. I think he's a great kid, but it's a very like great example of how crazy college football recruiting is right now, because that entire thing turned on its head, a 180-degree turn in a 2-week stretch.
This is news to me, Berm. You are breaking news to I think Andrew and I both as we sit here, that the relationship has turned in such a dramatic fashion. I know Ohio State is not going to, I would assume they're not going to let up in that recruitment. They're not just going to stop trying to recruit him, I guess, maybe. Down the stretch here, there's a long time until signing day. But when you look at the cornerback board, there are still really talented guys. There are still safeties on the board. When you need, you know, Ohio State feels good about what's in its cornerback room, but you also need guys. And then, you know, whether it's Canley, whether it's other guys on the board, there's some talented options out there. So if it does go south with AJ Harris, I think Tim Walton will be able to do a good job trying to find guys that he thinks can play at that level. But AJ Harris is really talented. I do know that.
Yeah, I think just with the number of twists and turns this recruitment has taken over the last few months, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State did come back into the mix and he shows up in Columbus again. But I think at this point, the best thing for Ohio State fans to do is just plan on him ending up in the SEC unless he does show up again. And then, you know, guys like Kay and Lee and, like a Daniel Harris type of guy, those guys are just going to move up the board. And there are two more guys that are in the SEC footprint, so that's never going to be easy, but.
Right. And that makes a player like Christian Gray that much more important for Ohio State out of St. Louis, who, is in more of the Big Ten, swath of the country that you really hope you can make a splash. But then you have to worry about Robert Steeples, the SEC cornerback coach at LSU, who is his former high school coach, and blah, 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 blah. That catch 22 of like, how do you get involved? How many visits do you need until you know that a player isn't the right fit for the program, that the program's the right fit for the player? Like, that's what's happening with Carnell Tate also. I mean, he told me after his most recent Ohio State visit that he doesn't even feel like the Buckeyes are recruiting him anymore. And that's not a negative. Like, that's they've shown him literally everything they can show him on his six different trips to Columbus. And at this juncture, you have to ask yourself, if someone wants to play somewhere else, they're just going to play somewhere else, because what else could he need to see from Ohio State? Tennessee is surging. I've heard from a few folks in the last couple of days that maybe Tennessee is pulled even with Ohio State in his mind, or some people are even saying that he's settled Tennessee's ahead of Ohio State. And if that's the case, and I'm just going to say this, and I know I don't want Vol Twitter to get all in my business, I know how it gets, but like, the programs are not comparable right now. And if Tennessee has provided him an opportunity that Ohio State can't, I think that he should take it and go to Tennessee and enjoy it, because that's clearly, this is a kid who's had an opportunity to commit to Ohio State for the last year. And if he's still not sure, maybe there's a good reason for that.
I agree. And I'm at Spencer Holbrook Vol Twitter. Go ahead. Because these programs are not on the same level. Like you said, Berm, they are simply not. And whether you think Tennessee can get there or not, Ohio State, we talk about it all the time. Berm, it's around this time every year, there's always a guy who, it's Ohio State or Kentucky, Ohio State or, let's take Tennessee. Then they don't recruit against these programs right now because they don't have to. They recruit against Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, Clemson, Oregon, USC. They don't have to recruit right now against the Kentuckys and the Tennessees. So if Carnell Tate wants to go there, and he thinks there's an opportunity there for him to be a better player when he goes to Tennessee than to Ohio State, then it's almost like good luck. And who's next? Because Brian Hartline is the best wide receivers coach in America. And whoever is on the roster is going to look really good playing under Brian Hartline. And so,
Andrew, we're not writing Carnell Tate off here by any stretch. And I still think I still think he's going to end up at Ohio State, but I'm just saying right now, that recruitment is a prime example of when all the cards have been put on the table, you have to ask yourself, like, did you peak too soon? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think one of the kind of the rules of recruiting that I sort of live by is if a school hosts a kid for an official visit, he leaves that visit and that school is not the clear leader, then they're probably not going to get that recruit. I think in this case, it's kind of a unique scenario. We know about the name, image, likeness stuff that's involved here. I tend to still think he's going to end up at Ohio State. I know Chad Simmons had an update today that a lot of people read and kind of struck fear into the hearts of some Ohio State fans. I think he'll get back to campus. I don't know if it'll be an official or not, but I still think Ohio State's going to land Carnell Tate. Tennessee's a real threat. They have one of the top quarterbacks in the country and committed for 23. The NIL stuff is real, but he's one of six or seven guys that Brian Hartline really likes. And if he chooses to go to Tennessee, then one of those other guys or two or three of those other guys are going to end up in Columbus. So Brian Hartline is going to do his thing regardless of what Carnell Tate decides to do.
There are so many moving parts right now, and we could talk about a lot of these guys individually for a long time, and we can try to do more of that over the next few weeks because there's going to be time. Carnell Tate's not making a decision anytime soon. We don't know exactly what's happening. The timeline was AJ Harris at this juncture, if he's going to decide to still take trips around the country. What we do know is that the Ohio State spring football game is on Saturday. The Buckeyes are hosting a butt ton of really good players in the class of 23. Yeah, butt ton. 2023, 2024 classes. Carnell Tate's not one of them. Two receivers that Ohio State is recruiting pretty aggressively are, that is Noah Rogers from North Carolina and Bryson Rogers from Florida, who's returning to Columbus for the second time this spring. I want to turn this on its head because the biggest visitor of the weekend may not have be officially visiting yet because we don't know if it's finalized, but there has been at least some internet scuttlebutt all day on Wednesday that Dylan Raiola, the class of 2024, five-star quarterback, the number one ranked player in the country, that he is attempting to get back to Columbus with his family. That's what we've seen on our message board. Chad Simmons posted that was a potential for the weekend. And we're just kind of waiting to see what happens. If that does occur, that's obviously very big news for Ohio State. And I think he would then be the biggest visitor for the weekend. But I wanted to ask you guys, as you look through the list on Letterman Lounge, we do have a full running list of visitors coming for the weekend on this edition of Buyers Autos Talking Stuff. Guys, what do you see as the most, give me one or two players that are your most important visitors for the weekend and why?
Andrew, I'm going to let you go first here.
Okay. So I'll stick with kind of the wide receiver theme here for a bit. We've spent so much time talking about Carnell Tate and Brandon Innes, but Noah Rogers that you mentioned, Berm out of North Carolina. I think On3 has him as like a top 40 prospect, the number 5 wide out in the country. Just not a guy we've talked a lot about. He seems like he's kind of handling the process kind of in a more quiet fashion. So getting him on campus is going to be a big deal, especially with all this unknown surrounding Carnell Tate right now.
Yeah.
He's probably the top guy for 23. And then this is going to be a big 2024 weekend. If you just look at the visitor list on Letterman Lounge, but getting Sammy Brown back on campus, the linebacker from Georgia, I think Ohio State's a real player there along with the Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, one of the top players in the country for the next class. So those would be my two that I'm kind of watching most closely right now.
Okay, Spencer, you're on the clock. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go with the defensive line and just the basically all the defensive linemen that are on this list. I think this list is as up to date as it can be. Mateo Uiagalelei, if he's on campus, that is absolutely huge. I know that it probably doesn't seem like Ohio State is really in the mix there, but at the same time, like we saw him on campus last summer, he was absolutely incredible. And if Larry Johnson can get Ohio State in position with him, I mean, you're talking about a whole different stratosphere that this class could be in with a guy like him in the defensive line room. And then in 2024, there's defensive lineman Elijah Rushing, Booker Pickett. I'm just going on the list here. Nigel Smith. Like, there are some really talented guys in this room, in this defensive line crop, that have a chance to see exactly what the path of the defensive line is. You look at Ohio State's defensive line this year, and I know that can't really draw a lot from the spring game, but the defensive line has a chance to make a statement at the end of the spring going into the fall. I think the defensive line has a chance to – Larry Johnson and that defensive line recruiting staff have a good chance to cement themselves this weekend.
Yeah, Booker Pickett is the nephew of former Ohio State defensive tackle Ryan Pickett, so there's some family ties there, and I've just had a moment of just thinking about how kind of neat it would be to see Will Smith's son and Ryan Pickett's nephew on the Ohio State defensive line at the same time. That'd be kind of cool. The relationship of Ohio State and Mateo Uiagalelei is very real. Like, that's something that's maintained since last summer. I think USC is probably the favorite to land him, but I do think Ohio State is right behind them, ahead of Alabama and Clemson and others at Oregon. I would think that Ohio State is in the top two for Mateo, and I think that's a huge visit. But one defensive lineman you didn't mention is Jason Moore in the class of 2023, a really, really good defensive end from the Baltimore area, who I think Ohio State is kind of a secret player in that recruitment. You know, and as you start to look at the class of 23, they have been pretty patient when it comes to defensive linemen. But there's this groundswell with Mateo, with Jason Moore, the relationship that's still growing with Keon Keeley. There's some really big name players out there for Ohio State that are starting to ascend into the realistic conversation portion of the program. And that changes everything for Larry Johnson, because again, he just operates so differently. He's like a ninja, right? Like, no, you never know what he's doing behind the closed doors, who he's talking to, and who he's building relationships with. And that's really fascinating to me. I think there's another player in Ohio who I'm really looking forward to seeing back on campus. That's Luke Hamilton, offensive lineman from Avon in the class of 2024. I think it's probably too early for Luke to get an offer from Ohio State, but I think he's going to get one this summer, provided that he camps with the Buckeyes and he's expected to. KJ Bolden from Buford, Georgia, if he makes the trip, he's a 2024 five-star athlete, one of the best players in the country, regardless of class, and kind of that Travis Hunter mold, a guy that's really important athletically, just who can do a lot of things. But the one other player I want to mention specifically is Walker Lyons, the tight end from Folsom, California. His high school teammate was Rico Flores, a wide receiver who Ohio State loves, visited last week. I think that there's at least a outside chance Ohio State could land both of them. maybe even a little better than Outside Chance. I think that the relationship with Lions, the Buckeyes are in that final group. And if, especially if Rico Flores decides that he wants to travel to the Midwest for college, it would make it easier for his teammate to do the same thing. And I think that having these two kids from California on campus back-to-back weekends kind of goes a long way for Kevin Wilson and then Brian Hartline to kind of pull off that double play. So that's something I'm really looking at. You know, as far as the rest of the weekend, I mean, I think really what it comes down to more than anything is Raiola. I mean, if Raiola visits, all bets are off as far as when a commitment could come from him. I put in my RPM, my recruiting prediction machine, choice for Ohio State on April 3rd, the day after he left Ohio State from his last visit. And I'm telling you, and I don't always love the prediction stuff, and everyone knows that. I put in a pick for him because I watched Dylan Raiola at practice, and he looked like a kid who just knew exactly that that's where he wanted to be. And that is why I put in my prediction. There was not any inside information. There was no secrets being shared. I just saw a kid and a family that looked like they knew that they wanted to be where they were. And it just seemed like a perfect fit. And if he and his family decide 2 weeks later to come back from Arizona for the spring game, I think that's a pretty gargantuan development in the recruitment. And if you're talking about receivers in the class of 2023, even, and 24, of course, I think a lot of the 23 receivers might be a little bit slower with Ohio State right now because they don't know who that quarterback's going to be. If you know Raiola's there, 23 doesn't matter at that point. And you have a relationship that Dylan's already got with the South Florida Express guys, the Carnell Tates, the Brandon Innes, Jeremiah Smith, JoJo Traders. Like, all of a sudden, you have a guy who's a very active, very willing leader and a magnetic personality and a dynamic football player as your face of the 24 class. And that could now launch that group into something really special for Ohio State.
I think it would have a chance to have similar impacts of what Kyle McCord did with the 2021 class.
Yeah. I think that that's a good, you know, comparison. Dylan's personality, Kyle's very under the radar, kind of mellow fellow. Dylan is certainly not like a loud, braggadocious type, but he is extremely confident and very willing to reach out and talk to people. And that would go a long way for Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, this is the number one player in the country, regardless of position, like consensus number one player in the country. And, you know, Berm, when you talked to him after his visit a couple of weeks ago, when you did your Bermanology episode, I mean, you could tell his remarks, his comments were just glowing. And if they are going to come back this weekend, then I think that could very well put an end to the Dylan Raiola versus Jaden Davis conversation for the class of 24. And he just has, just from what I saw of your interview, he just seems like a kid that's going to be kind of a lightning rod recruiter kind of kid too. So if he returns this weekend, I mean, that's by far the biggest news of the weekend.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where we spent the last year talking about Jaden Davis. And it's not to say Jaden Davis isn't a really great football player, but Jaden Davis had 6.5 months or 7 months or so to be in a position where if he wanted to commit to Ohio State, he could have. And right now, I'm not saying that he couldn't now, but I'm saying that Ohio State's in a position that maybe they didn't expect to be in 4 months ago. And every single day that a young quarterback gets more time to be evaluated, more data points come up, there's more opportunity to sort of say, hey, maybe we need this, maybe we need that. I think that Jaden Davis and Dylan Raiola, to me, they're on opposite sides of the country, so it's not the exact same. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but if you talk about Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence in the class of 2018, you can't really go wrong with either one. And at some point, a program has to say, let's just see who wants in first. There was conversation about Jaden Davis expecting to visit Ohio State this weekend. He's not. He's visiting Penn State. Maybe that's a sign that Jaden has decided to, you know, focus his attention elsewhere while he thinks Ohio State is focusing on Raiola. I'm not going to try to put too many thoughts in or too many words into someone else's mouth, but it certainly provides an interesting backdrop for what could be coming for Ohio State as the class of 2024 looks for its first commitment.
And another comparison, I don't know, to 2021, Berm, you were recovering recruiting more than I was then. Like, you know, Ohio State kind of had almost its pick of which quarterback it wanted in that 2021 class. And Ryan Day almost chose in a way Callum McCord over a couple other guys. And you wonder if that's just kind of starting to creep in, like they see Dylan Raiola on film. They see exactly how he interacts in the building. They see how he, you know, interacts with recruits, and they just all of a sudden see that's the guy we want in our class. And once Ohio State locks in on a quarterback like that, you know, they've done it time and time again. They get the guy that they want. And you look at what they're doing with Dylan Raiola right now, like you said, Berm, if he makes that visit again, all bets are off, especially with the different skill talent that's going to be in the building with him on Saturday.
Yeah, and not making the visit doesn't mean that things are falling apart, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is important to note that he is at least reportedly considering it. Last thing, and we'll dive out of here in about, you know, 5-6 minutes. Commitment watch for the weekend. Give me one guy only, who you think is on commitment watch for the Ohio State spring football game and the big recruiting weekend ahead. Andrew, go.
I'm going to say one of the 2023 wideouts. I said Noah Rogers was my pick of the name to watch most closely, but as far as commitment watch goes, I'll say Bryson Rogers, the Florida receiver. I mean, it's a 2023 kid. You got to think they're going to want, they don't have any receivers committed yet. They probably are going to want to get some 2023 guys before they start to stock up on 2024. So it's kind of a shot in the dark pick, but I'll say Bryson Rogers, the receiver out of Florida.
Oh man, I'm gonna Spencer, say
you're on the spot. If you get it wrong, you're never on the show again.
I'm gonna go with Walker Lyons. I think that's an interesting guy to be visiting. I don't know if it'll happen right away, but
wow, Spencer doesn't want to be on the show ever again.
No, but I think it's always odd to me, and maybe it's not odd's not the right word, but when a guy chooses, I think Walker has been on campus before now, but when a guy chooses to fly completely across the country and come see a spring game when he could probably just do that in September, not on an official, and do it for a regular game. And I think that says something about a guy who wants to come from Southern California to in the middle of April to Ohio
on Easter weekend.
On Easter weekend as a tight end, not the most glorious position in this offense, and watch a spring game, a glorified practice. That says a lot to me. And so maybe it's just a shot in the dark. Maybe I'll be completely right. Maybe I'll be a complete idiot. And I'll be so wrong that everyone will make fun of me, and I'll leave the message board.
Well, there's one of two ways that can go. I guess we'll see. I guess for me, it has to be Austin Sereveld, the 4-star offensive lineman from Lakota East High School. I think it's an extremely important visit for the Buckeyes and Sereveld. He's got a final three schools of Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Most people believe that it is really Ohio State or Notre Dame. He's expected to go to Notre Dame next weekend for their spring game. I think it's extremely important for the Buckeyes to make sure he doesn't make that trip. And I know that Austin is handling this stuff very strategically, and he's trying not to rush into anything. He grew up dreaming of playing for Ohio State and had an opportunity to do so now for about 7 months, where he's been offered at the end of October. He's already been on campus once this spring, and from talking to people around the program at Ohio State, they thought maybe he could have pulled the trigger on that visit, and he wanted to take a step back, catch his breath, see a couple other places. I have a prediction in for Sereveld to Ohio State, and I have since the day he got his offer, but I'm just going to preface it or asterisk it and say, if he doesn't commit to Ohio State before next weekend's planned visit to Notre Dame, I think he'll go to Notre Dame. And it's not a knock on Ohio State. They've done everything they could. I just, that the personality we've talked about before, maybe it's a better fit there. The smaller campus, the less in your face nature of the program, because he's sort of a reserved kid, but I think he wants to play at Ohio State. That's the school he grew up dreaming of playing for. He has an opportunity. Luke Montgomery and Josh Padilla will be there with him all weekend, trying to make sure he understands that they've got him, that, you know, those guys are going to be his teammates for the next 4 or 5 years. So I think Sereveld is a guy I would put on that spot, because if you don't get him this weekend, I think that there's a very good chance he ends up going to Notre Dame. So that's all I got. Who else have anything else you guys got to talk about? Any other stuff you want to talk? Nothing else on your minds? Andrew, you got something? What is it?
No, not really. I couldn't remember if there was a timeline in place for Raiola, but I don't think he really had any type of timeline set up here. I know he was at Nebraska last week.
Oh, I got something. Andrew, we're going to get to, Berman and I are going to get to talk about it with Austin, but I want your prediction on who the Bam Childress is going to be of this spring game.
Who the Bam Childress is going to be. Oh, wow. So who's going to go for like 250 yards in the spring game?
Who's going to be the player that – it's originally the Albert Dukes Award.
Right. But it depends on how you're asking it. Like, are you asking just who the, like, biggest stat guy is going to be in the spring game but never go on to, like, really have a ton – like, Bam Childress did not have a bad career. But, okay, I'll just tell you my guess. My guess is Jaden Ballard, but I think he's also going to have a very good career down the road as well, even if it's not right this season because he's obviously got some guys ahead of him.
I'm always curious who people are going to come up with when they get asked this. Every year we have to ask. So it's just as important as who's going to commit.
That's true, it is.
I mean, it's definitely not, but it's fun. It's a fun conversation. I think most people would agree if Jaden Ballard is a solid choice for that because he's going to get a lot of reps and the Buckeyes are going to fling the ball all over the field because they only have three scholarship running backs available and they're certainly not going to risk getting anyone hurt. So I think you're going to see him sling it all over the field with Devin Brown and Kyle McCord. And it's going to be one of the receivers. So I think Ballard's a pretty good, safe bet. I'm going to say, it's got to be Jaden Ballard. It's got to be. Anyway, that's it. That's Andrew Ellis and Spencer Holbrook. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This has been Talking Stuff, brought to you by Byers Automotive. Head to ByersAuto.com for the best selection of new and used vehicles in Central Ohio. Head to LettermanRow.com for all the Ohio State Buckeyes conversation and stuff you can ask for. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.